And what a glorious day it is to be here and to be able to worship God and to be able to do so without fear of harm from others and to be gathered with this great group of folks who is here this morning. I invite you to follow along with us this morning as we discuss some characteristics of great faith. Jesus reproved His disciples for little faith in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 30 when discussing about not worrying about the necessities of life. He says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 30, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? O you of little faith." We need to understand as followers of Jesus Christ that we will never reach our full potential for God as long as we are living on little faith. The Sermon on the Mount in general is needed by all. It's needed by everyone because of worrying about daily needs. We so often worry about the necessities of life and whether we will have them or not. And therefore, Jesus often addressed this issue of little faith. Fearfulness during a storm on Galilee was rebuked in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 26. But He said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Peter, when he was walking on the water to go to meet Jesus, when he began to sink and he cried out to Jesus for the Lord to save him, he was rebuked. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Just like Peter, we want to come to Jesus. We make effort to come to Jesus, but then we doubt. Why do we doubt? When "Beware of the Leaven of the Pharisees" sailed right over the heads of Jesus' disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verses 6 through 12, He once again reproved His disciples. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 6. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed of and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor of the 7 loaves and of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I do not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Verse 12, "Then they understood that He did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Most often, Jesus was having to reprove His followers for little faith. And how often today would Jesus have to reprove us for little faith? Yet it was a compliment paid to a Roman centurion when Jesus said, "I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Luke chapter 7 and verse number 9. So we ask the question this morning, what about our faith? If the Lord's work is to be done in our generation, it will be done by men and women of great faith. Little faith people do little because they do not trust the Lord enough, while great faith people do much, putting all their confidence, all their trust in the Lord. What is great faith? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 18, talks about great faith. In fact, it talks about Timothy's great faith that was established in the gospel and maintained by loyalty. Little faith is established in the gospel, but it is not maintained by loyalty. To have great faith, it must not only be established in the gospel, but it must be maintained by loyalty to that gospel. Let's look at great faith and characteristics of it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse number 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Genuine faith. If you have the New King James Version and you have footnotes in yours, that word genuine is footnoted unhypocritical. Genuine, it's sincere, it's unhypocritical, it's unfeigned. It is not something that's put on, it's not a show. Sincere faith cannot be put on and taken off at will. Sincere faith is real, it's true, it's genuine. It is a constant in one's life. Paul was grateful to God for Timothy's faith. Now think about this for just a moment. Paul, a man of God, a man that we wisely and logically can conclude that was a man of great faith, desired to be with Timothy because of Timothy's faith. Paul, a mentor to Timothy, wanted to be with Timothy because of Timothy's faith. It was in an earlier writing that Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." By the time we reach 2 Timothy chapter 1, I think Timothy's starting to live up to that calling that Paul has placed before him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 24 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." The faith of Timothy was his own. It was Timothy's own faith. Yet it was learned from previous generations, his grandmother and his mother. But Timothy had developed his own faith. And thus he was not living a good enough for mom, good enough for me faith. He wasn't living off mom and grandma's faith. He was living out his own faith. And it was sincere. It was therefore a great faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." To stir up is to rekindle, revive, inflame again the mind, strength, and zeal. Great faith cannot remain inactive. James chapter 2 and verse number 20, "Faith without works is dead." Verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." A great faith is dead unless it is active. Great faith uses our individual abilities. Now, as noted in verse number 6, as we have just read, Timothy's gift may have been that of a miraculous measure, such as that of prophecy or knowledge. It would coincide and be given with the laying on of the elders' hands as accounted in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 14, and then mentioned here again in verse 6 as being the laying on of my hands. Our gifts are not of that miraculous nature, whether Timothy's was or was not in this case. Nevertheless, we must stir up our abilities, our talents. Everybody can do something for God. But unless we stir up our abilities and stir up one another to love and good works, the fire will go out. A great faith is stirred up and inflames us, and it is what makes us on fire for God. When's the last time that you truly felt that you were on fire for God? It was at the Body Hill Church of Christ, where there was a job to do, everybody thought anybody could do it, and that somebody would. Somebody thought everybody should help. Invariably, nobody did. And on the Day of Judgment, guess who went to heaven? Nobody did. Our faith ought to be stirred up. It's not to be one of scarce. God did not give us a spirit of fear or cowardice, verse 7 of 2 Timothy 1. A spirit of fear asks, what if I make a mistake? What if I mess up? What if I say something wrong? What will so-and-so think of me? What will they think about what I have to say? What if beggars were wishers and wishers were thieves? Always talking ourselves out of doing what we know we should be doing. But great faith stirs us up to love and good works. For God has given us power. He has given us love. He has given us a sound mind. The power is in the Christian life is that of God. The love that is in the Christian life is because of the love that God has for us. And the sound mind is that of self-discipline and self-control. Great faith is stirred up. Great faith is, verses 8 through 12, shameless. Shameless. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Great faith is not ashamed of the Lord. Great faith is not ashamed of His gospel. Romans 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shame or embarrassment produces inactivity, but we must not be ashamed. We must not be ashamed to suffer with Him, nor because of Him. A great example of this is that of Moses, when he chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. It's just one chapter later in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13 that we read, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Great faith sees and knows God and Christ through the written Word, though they are not physically present. And thus great faith is not shamed. It is not ashamed of the Lord. It is not ashamed of the gospel. Therefore, great faith is shameless. Verse 13 and verse 14 shows that great faith is steadfast. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We find here a textual example of parallelism. The pattern of sound words is equivalent to or equal to that good thing committed to you. Hold fast is equivalent to or equal to that word keep. Thus, the pattern of sound words, the good thing committed to us by the writing of Paul, is to be held fast and it is to be kept, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things in Him who is the head, Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Great faith is held in faith and love. Great faith is belief in Christ and action for Christ due to one's love for Christ. The way great faith flourishes is through loyalty to Christ and His gospel. Salvation begins with faith. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So he who has an ear, let him hear. That he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Thus Jesus said, John 3 and verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, that unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Eternal joy results from continued faith. Therefore Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. How great is our faith? How sincere, how stirred up, how shameless, and how steadfast are we for Christ? For one who has yet to develop a faith, we request of you that you come and make the commitment to study with us. Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. as we read and study God's Word together, faith will be developed. For those who are followers of Jesus Christ, but have allowed other things, worldly things, other things outside of God, to come between them and God, need to understand that great faith is sincere. Sincere enough to come back to God. Great faith is such that when it is not stirred up, it becomes stagnant. But when it is stirred up, once again, it is inflamed. It is inflamed to do great things, being on fire for God. You may be one who has been ashamed of the gospel of Christ, ashamed of our Lord and Savior, and so you've not stood up for Him as you should. You've not spoke the truth in love as you ought. Today's the day to change all that. Today's the day to make your faith a great faith, one that is steadfast, one that is sure, one that will stand the test of time in following after Christ. How great is your faith?